What's up, everybody? My name is Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition, and you are tuned in to Kinda Neat. Thank you for tuning in, as always. First things first, go to patreon.com/kindaneat, where you can support the show by pledging $1 per episode. Every dollar helps us keep the lights on, pay for rent around here. Yeah, you know the deal. Go to patreon.com/kindaneat. All right, guys, it's been a hot minute, and I apologize. Many things have happened, and I'm going to try to get into as much of it as I can. Last episode that we did was Omar Apollo. It was a fucking, like, at least a month and a half ago, I think. So I apologize. I've been ridiculously busy. The Skull Candy gig I told you guys about is keeping me traveling almost weekly back and forth to San Francisco and New York quite a bit. New York, starting to love it. San Francisco, starting to really hate it. San Francisco is not my type of city. The income gaps there are just so visceral at this point, and I really feel like startup money and corporate money seems to really be changing that city for the worse, and it's a real bummer every time I'm there, but that's neither here nor there. Things have been happening in life as well. Life is good. I have a bunch of new stuff to report. A few episodes ago, two episodes maybe, I reported about the unfortunate passing of our dog, Kennedy, who became a staple in the studio while we were recording these, but once we got back from Australia, where I got engaged and told you about, we started the hunt for a new dog, and we found one. And if you've been following my social media, you already know this, so no spoilers, but I waited a while to announce it. I already had it the last time we did a podcast, I think, but I wanted to wait until he got past all of his parvo stuff, because parvo is a devastating disease that can catch puppies and take their lives too quick. But he got past parvo, and now he is a four-month-old little stud. His name is Cooper. We weren't quite sure what his breed is, but we've kind of narrowed it down to we think he is a McNab Border Collie, which is a specific type of Border Collie from the Northern California region, which makes sense because his mother, her name was Shadow. She was found pregnant on a farm in Sacramento. And so this rescue that we got him from in Inglewood, shout out to the Lovejoy Foundation. If you're looking for a pet, go there. They're fantastic. Yeah, they rescued him and the whole litter and the mother, who was really skittish, scared of humans. She didn't have a lot of human contact, but a sweet skittish. Not like, I'm going to bite you if you touch me, but more like, oh, please don't touch me. But if you have to, I'll take it and be nice about it. So yeah, he's like a little black and white dog. He's mainly black with accents of white down the middle of his face and all the way down his chin to his chest, and he's got little socks on his feet. He's fucking cool, man. I've never had a dog that's so driven to learn. You know, Border Collies in general are known as some of the smartest dogs, and that sounds great, but if you don't keep a smart dog super active and engaged, then they're destructive, right? And then on top of that, a McNab Border Collie specifically is known to be extra driven. So they're kind of short-haired. They have huge ears that stand up and show all their emotion. His ears are like my eyebrows, you know, they show everything that he's going through, whether it be attentive or scared or whatever. And man, he's just awesome. Like, we adopted him when he was 5 weeks old, but we couldn't take him home until he was 8 weeks old. When we took him home, he's just a tiny little nugget. And it's crazy because we felt like we shot hundreds of photos of him. And now that he's already, you know, halfway to being grown up and looks like a completely different dog in the 2 months since we got him, now we look back at the photos of him 2 months ago and we're like, oh fuck, we should have taken more photos. Look how cute he was. He's still very cute, don't get me wrong, but now I see him more as an adult dog, even though everyone else is still able to spot out that he's a puppy. He's been in my life long enough now to where I just am like, oh, you should already be a good boy because I've had you long enough to make you a good boy. But he really is a good boy. He has so much personality, and he's just smart as a fucking button. I was teaching him how to touch my hand with his nose and sit and spin and all these things by the time he was 8.5 weeks old. And now at 4 months, we've gone through an obedience class already with him for puppies where he's already really an ace at heel. Like, he will walk right next to my leg on the leash. And when I stop, he'll sit. I can get him, you know, to lay down and stay down. I can walk pretty much as far away as I want and just keep saying, you know, good down, and he'll stay there until I walk back up and reward him. And I can, you know, keep him in a sit and walk 360s around him without him moving. And then he also just knows, like, you know, shake another paw and spin and turn. So he spins one way and then he'll turn the other way. And by the time he's like full grown and, you know, all of his muscles are intact, I think he's going to be just a really cool acrobatic dog. I'll be able to play some pretty epic frisbee with him, and I think he'll be a great camping partner. So I'm looking forward to a long life with this guy. I think these McNabs supposedly live to be 15 years old sometimes. So, you know, I was thinking about that the other day of like, damn, 15 years. But that means by the time, if everything goes great and he lives that long, I'll be in my 50s for sure. What'll that make me, like 52 or something like that, right? And I'm thinking like, damn, that means when Cooper kicks the bucket in 15 years in the future, like I might only have like one or two dogs left before I kick the bucket. So that's like how I'm measuring my life now, is in how many more dogs I have left, which is, I don't know, kind of joyful and kind of morbid at the same time. But yeah, we started off with him in an exercise pen, which is kind of like an octagonal little cage, big enough for them to play around in and, you know, put pee pads at one side so they don't soil everywhere, and a bed on the other, and a bunch of toys in there so that they can kind of get used to being on their own, but also get used to knowing like what is okay to chew on and what is not okay to chew on. Because this is the first time I've raised a puppy as an adult. I've always had dogs in my life, but they've always been adult dogs. So yeah, I didn't realize that, like, oh yeah, when you have a puppy, you got to kind of keep them confined a lot of the time, because if you don't have eyes on them at all times, they're going to fuck shit up. And a dog like this, a border collie that's so smart, like, you're training them at all times. So you're either training them to do the right thing or you're untraining them, depending on how much attention you're paying to them. So if they get the idea that like, oh, I can chew on this thing one time, they're always going to remember like, oh, I can chew on this. This is fine. So thankfully, we've already broken him of a lot of bad habits, or not even broken him of bad habits. Like, we just didn't let him develop bad habits. As soon as we would see him, we found out that he's like terrified of a salt pepper shaker. So we would just, if he's chewing on something we didn't like, boom, one little shake and he would stop and he gets it. And he's like, oh, I can't touch that. And now he doesn't touch shit. And it's awesome. You know, we have it's like having a child though. We have like toys laying fucking everywhere. And, you know, he's like a little demon sometimes when he needs to take a nap and he starts rebelling and he gets like a toddler, you know, like, when a two-year-old doesn't want to nap, but they're also crying and screaming and they don't know why they're crying and screaming, and everything would be fixed if they just went to sleep. He gets that way sometimes. And when he does that, I have to kind of like put him on my lap and literally put a chew bone in his mouth like it's a pacifier or something. And he'll sit there and lay and bite it. And then if I don't move it enough, he'll bite my fucking hand. And then I realize, oh, I need to like put it in his mouth again. And I don't know. It's cool, man. It's funny because it's so stressful for the first few weeks, I guess, when you have this little animal that doesn't understand why it's there or who you are or what it's supposed to be doing or what its job is yet. And they cry throughout the night and I don't know, it's just, and they're not potty trained yet. Like, it's stressful, you know, and you like the dog, but you're not attached to it yet. And my girl and I both talked about it, like, damn, we fucking miss Kennedy so much. And like, it's nice having this dog here, but, you know, Jesus Christ, like, what did we get ourselves into? This is so much more work than we even realized. I like this dog, but I don't love this dog. And already after 2 months, like, watching his personality to develop and watching him start to understand, like, oh, this is my house and I need to not fuck it up and I shouldn't pee in here. And, you know, oh, I like laying in the bathroom right here and I like being on this corner of the couch. Like, just seeing him turn into this, like, you know, part of our family, we're both totally enamored with him already now. Like, we're just so in love with him, and it's great. It's really nice having a dog in the house. And, you know, we saw a bunch of different litters and this is the guy that we picked out, and I don't know. I feel like we did a good pick. When we went to the adoption place and saw him, I had been searching for like shepherd mixes and lab mixes and border collie mixes, and they had him listed as a border collie shepherd mix. And I was like, all right, that sounds cool. Because I've always wanted a really smart dog, because like I've always wanted to have a blank canvas to just like train my idea of a perfect family pet. Because we've had good dogs, but we've never had dogs that I've gotten to fully train without anybody else fucking shit up. I don't know. We went to this place in Inglewood. My mom had just flown in that morning, and so she met us there. She got to the rescue before we did. And we told her, like, yo, these are going to go fast. These dogs are really fucking cute and cool. Like, pick out a good one and kind of hold on to them if you can. And so when we got there, she had picked out him just because she thought he had the nicest coloration. But then the more we played with them, we also realized he was kind of the most, in my opinion, responsive to wanting to be around humans. When we were over by the pen where all eight of his brothers and sisters were at, like, he was the one that would run over and jump on the gate to, like, oh, you know, pick me up. And, you know, I would, like, just move my finger around and he would follow it. And I don't know, there was just something about him. And I picked him up and, like, man, my fucking heart melted. Like, my eyes watered up and I just sat there and I don't know, he was just like, he just like melted right into me, and then I gave him to Mia, and he fell asleep right in Mia's arms, and I was just like, man, yeah, this is the one, you know. And as we were signing the adoption, you know, they give you a questionnaire. It's like an interview process, basically. And I was so worried that, like, oh, God, I hope they're going to think we're good dog owners. It's like applying for a job you want or something. And, you know, your self-doubt always lets you think that you're not qualified for the position that you're applying for, even though, like, the people on the other end know that you are. And so, you know, they were like, oh, you know, we think you guys would be great dog owners. So, yeah, you guys can have them. You can pick them up in 3 weeks. Come visit them anytime you want. So I would go there and visit. I would bring like stuffed animals and shit to get, you know, like let him smell our house, but also get the smell of like his litter mates onto his stuffed animals and stuff. And I don't know, I just go play with him, and it was just fucking cool. And I was so excited to get him home, and I don't know, I'm hyped. It's dope. He's a fucking good boy, and he's going to be a really good boy. Other than that, we also got our new furniture, which I have been waiting on for about 3 months, and I'd been saving for almost a year. This is the first time as an adult that I've ever bought like a sofa and a chair that I wanted and planned out for the style and comfort of it, like as though I didn't care what the price was. Every other couch or piece of furniture I've ever bought has always been like, okay, what's the best deal I can get? Or like, what's sitting at the Salvation Army and I can take home? I've always just had like bachelor ass furniture. But we went to, we shopped online at Joybird and bought like a fucking corner sectional and a chair that kind of matches. And it's like blue velvet. The couch is blue velvet and the chair is kind of this like really cool cream with hints of blue color. And man, our house, it's coming together. It's really starting to look like a home. We've been there almost a year. It's been about 9 months, 10 months since we've been there. And it takes a long time to fill up a house, even a small one. And I'll tell you, it's starting to really look like a home. Now we're working more on just like finishing touches, you know what I'm saying? Plants and decorations and pillows and shit. I know I sound like a boring ass old person, but this shit is mad exciting to me. You know, you hit a point in your life where priorities start to change. And I never thought that would really happen to me. And lo and behold, it did. And man, I don't know. I've been thinking about it a lot, just like wanting to tell people to just fucking chill out, be patient, hang on. Like, I know shit gets mad hard when it's in your 20s. Like, you're a teen and you can't wait to be in your 20s. And then you're in your 20s and you don't want to hit your 30s. But I can tell you from my experience, like, hitting my 30s, that's when shit finally started to look up. Don't get me wrong. Like, I had a ton of fun in my 20s. I did everything I could have possibly wanted to do, and I don't feel like I wasted my 20s at all. I got to experience things that when I tell the stories, people think that I'm just like bullshitting, or that it's like my odd and weird adventures are often too good to have been true. You know what I mean? That said, I look back at my 20s and go, damn, that shit sucked. I don't even know how I got through them. You know, shit started working in my 30s, man, and happiness comes easier now. And I don't know, life starts to make more sense. You know, even as my dad's dying and shit, like, it's still easier for me to find happiness in helping him than it is to like fret about what's next, you know, and just, I don't know what I'm getting. I'm being sappy, but I don't know. Having a fucking couch and a dog and some plants changes your life, bro. So don't front on self-care. I guess that's the moral of the story. Don't front on self-care. I'm sure that I have other stuff that I want to talk about too, and I meant to make a list before I came in because so much shit has happened, but yeah, that's about the summary. The biggest things is that I have a fully furnished living room, and I have a fucking dog, and both of those things are really wonderful. So, today, we have on some youngsters from Ventura. They go by Out West. They are a duo that is comprised of Little Race Car and Gravelust. Sorry, the names these days, man, hard to remember. They're so rare. But yeah, they're doing some interesting shit. They are only 18 years old. They grew up on a mixture of rare punk rock and SoundCloud rap, country music, and they had an awakening a couple years ago where they realized like, oh, we need to somehow mix all of our influences. And they did. And I think they're doing it in a really interesting way. They're calling themselves like I don't know if they're calling themselves this, but like magazines are referring to them as like country trap, I think, or something like that, which is kind of ham-fisted and sounds ridiculous. And they do wear cowboy boots and shit, but their music is not so outwardly country that you're like, this feels try hard. It's not that. It's, if you like the Wicca Phase episode of our show, if you fuck with like goth boy click, I mean, even Sesh Hollow Water Boys and stuff are some of their influences. If you like that kind of new alternative underground shit, this is that. With a little bit of a twist. I like them. They're good dudes. They're young kids. They got a long way to go. And I'm glad that we're some of the first people, you know, doing this kind of content with them. And I think their recording was really fantastic. I'm excited to hear the final product of it. So yeah, without further ado, let's get right into my podcast with Out West. Thank you. All right, so just so everybody knows who's who, let's do a voice introduction. We got Ryan over here. Ryan, you can tell people, let them know your voice and your nom de plume, if you will.
What up? I'm Ryan. I go by Race Car and Out West.
What up? And then we got Dylan over here next to him.
Yeah, Dylan, I go by Gravelust in Out West.
Gravelust. There you go. I'm trying to make sure that people understand.
Yeah. Kinda,
you know, you got that... the cool little dialect, a little relaxed and pronounced all the words, but hell, if you guys are looking for them, it's Gravelust. Yeah, and they are in a group together called Out West.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Just the two of you.
It's the two of us on the front end, but we got a big team behind us, like 1-800-ENTITY does a lot of our producing. Our friend Leo right here, he does DJing for us.
Shout out Leo, he's in the other room playing on his phone, you know? So Leo DJs for you guys.
Yeah.
And you guys are... very young.
Yeah.
Both 18.
Both 18.
Fresh out of high school, or is this your last year of high school?
Just fresh out. Yeah,
fresh
last
out
year
of
we graduated.
Good Lord. You know what? Every year this show makes me feel older and older. So this might be a short interview then, because you guys have not lived a lot of life yet. We'll see. We'll see what happens. First off, tell the people where you guys are from. How about that?
We're both from like Ventura, California.
Ventura. Yeah. Shout out to the 805.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
A little beach neighborhood called Pierpont, down by the beach in Ventura.
That's tight. And what's Ventura like?
It's cool. It's small as hell. It's a really small little beach town, but it's super. It's kind of blue collar a little bit, you know, like you got a lot of like construction workers and shit like that. It's real cool. I love it.
I was telling Dylan outside that Ventura was actually kind of my introduction to California, because my grandmother lives in Ojai.
What?
And so I would come down to visit Ojai and we would go party in Ventura. That's the first place I drank a Tecate. You know what I'm saying?
Like, hell yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, Ventura is legit. You guys grew up surfing and shit then, or what? Like Sea Streets right there?
Nah. But all board sports, you know, like skateboarding and like all that stuff.
When
like,
you grow up in Ventura, you're going to surf at one point no matter what too. You know, like you're going to be out there.
That just wasn't necessarily your shit.
Yeah, not really.
What was you guys' shit?
Just... kind of lean more towards the music.
That's
right?
It.
Yeah. We were skating a little when we were younger, you know, of course, like everybody else in California. Yeah. But yeah, we were more doing the whole art thing with music and all the other stuff.
I'm like, oh, from a young age. But I'm like, oh, you guys still are a young age. Yeah. How about this? Let's talk about family. Like, what do you guys' parents do, and how did they end up in Ventura? Do you guys have generations there?
My family, we moved there. I actually was born in like Sherman Oaks.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, in the valley, and we moved there in third grade, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the move about? New job?
Nah, it was just nice, you know? Like, the valley's cool, but... growing up, you can't really grow up on a hill in Sherman Oaks, you know?
Yeah, right.
You gotta be, like, in a town like Ventura where you kind of do whatever you want at a young age. Sort
totally.
Of.
And were your folks still together?
Nah, they're divorced.
What, so did you move up there with mom or with dad, or were they still together at the time?
They were together when we moved, and then I just moved in with my mom.
Yeah,
When they divorced, yeah.
What did your mom do?
She does, like, a fundraising for politicians and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, she works for, like, the L.A. Conservation Corps and stuff like that.
Yeah,
know?
That sounds legit.
Yeah, she's cool.
Dad's blue collar, or what does he do?
Nah, he does. He just kind of does. I actually have no idea. To be honest, I have no idea what he does.
No shit.
Yeah, I think
so your dad's a drug dealer?
No, I'm just kidding. I hope not.
What about you, Dylan? How'd you guys end up in Ventura?
My dad's from New York.
Yeah, right.
I have no idea how he got out to California. He just drove out there, but...
Look at you young bloods. These are things that you need to learn about your family, all right? Because it's important to, you know, document the history of your family, because if your parents were to fucking tragically pass or something, you'd be like, damn, I don't know nothing about my dad.
Yeah.
So here, homework assignment for you guys, go learn about your families. Just kidding. Okay, so you guys, he's from New York and you guys came
out? Yeah, well, he's from New York. He moved out to California, like, in his early 20s or something like that.
Just, like, living the dream, probably. Like, yeah. Oh, fucking California.
Yeah.
Bust.
And, like, he met my mom. My mom was born and raised in Ventura, too.
Yeah.
They met, and we just always lived in Ventura. I've always lived in Ventura.
Yeah, what'd your folks do for work?
My mom, she was a nurse for a while. And my dad, just doing construction, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, dad's a real man's man, or what?
Yeah.
Did you pick up on any of that shit?
Fuck no.
Why?
Because, like, I don't know, man. I'm not too much like my parents.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, same. Well, I'm very much like my mom and my neuroticisms, but I don't feel like I'm...
I feel the same way.
...like my dad very much. But, you know, it's funny the way that works. Like, my dad... My dad's dad, my grandfather, was, like, very construction-y, could fix anything, could fix cars, whatever, whatever. And my dad, being a rebellious teen, was like, fuck that, I'm not going to learn how to do any of that shit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So thereby, I never learned how to do any of that shit because I couldn't even rebel against it because he couldn't even teach me it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And now that I'm, like, getting up there in the years, I'm like, fuck, I wish that I knew how to, like, build something or fix something, you feel me?
Yeah.
Because similarly, I spent all my younger years on that art shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I never want to work with my hands, I want to work with my brain. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You guys growing up in Ventura, sunny, beautiful, fucking, it's, I don't know, it's a dope place.
Yeah, it's
What was there to do other than skating and surfing? What would, like, I mean, yeah, tell me about your art endeavors, I guess, from a young age. Regale me with your prodigal youth.
Yeah, well, I guess, like, growing up, I was always in, like, punk bands and stuff like that.
Yeah,
or,
right.
Like, experimental bands, more, like, on the instrument side
from
of things.
What age?
From probably, like, 12, 13.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
We were all, like, really into music at a young age. Like,
yeah.
I remember I had a band with one of my homies and my sister in 4th and 5th grade.
No way. Yeah. And how long did you guys know each other?
I've known Ryan for probably, like, 5 years, 6 years. Like, since we're, like...
When you grow up in Ventura, like I said before, it's small. You know of people no matter what. Just growing up, everybody knows each other. But we didn't start kicking it until, like, probably... 6, 5 years ago.
So, like, junior highs when you guys start hanging out, kind of?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. You guys knew each other in elementary school?
Just knew of each other. They're, like, mutual friends. Yeah. Like, everyone knows each other in Mentor.
Are there a lot of schools there? Okay, so I come from a small town, right? But in my city, there's, like, maybe 5 high schools and 8 or 9 elementary schools. Is Ventura like that, or is it even smaller?
Nah, it's not like that. There's, like, 2 or 3 high schools and, like, 2 or 3 middle schools, basically.
Really?
Yeah, just, like, main ones that everyone goes to.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So everybody's, like, somewhat connected, you know? Especially if, because Ventura's kind of, not segregated, but, like, split into different sides of the town based on high schools. You know, you got, like, Ventura on the west and Buena in the east, you know? So if anybody's on the west part of Ventura, going to Ventura High, you're going to know them.
Like, yeah, right, right. I mean, it's interesting that you guys say you were involved in punk bands from an early age because what you guys are doing in Out West, I feel like, is an amalgamation of kind of everything that could be popular in Ventura mixed with everything that could be popular, like, growing up as a youth on SoundCloud. You feel me?
Yeah. No, totally.
Like, it's a real mishmash of influences, I feel like. And I can hear the punk influence and I can hear kind of, like, the new wave influence, but then you can also hear the... you know, trap rap music influence,
et cetera. Like that.
So what were the early influences for you guys?
Early influences as far as, like, our music is concerned?
Well, just as far as, each of you individually.
Fuck, there's so many to name. I mean, that's the kind of hard thing about...
It is hard?
Fucking...
I hate that question generally, but...
Yeah, no,
give me, like, your main
ones. For sure.
I'd say, like, Gun Club's huge.
Yeah, Jeffrey
Lee
Pierce of the Gun Club, for sure.
Now, how... I didn't find out about Gun Club till I was probably, like, 27 or something. Yeah. How did you guys find out about Gun Club as little kids?
Dylan put me on, actually.
Yeah, just like older homies who have been in the punk scene and like stuff like that and just like passed down, I guess.
They're kind of like what, post-punk? Is that what you call them?
Gun Club? I'd call them like...
It's like cowpunk.
Yeah, like cowpunk. Yeah. Like very Western.
But it like
involved.
Transcends that for sure, I feel like. Yeah. Gun Club transcends like just the cowpunk kind of pigeonhole.
Yeah, yeah, right. Okay. I'd never even heard that term, cowpunk.
Yeah. Like yeah.
All right, all right. How do you end up in a band at 11, 12 years old? Like, did your parents buy you a guitar?
Parents bought me a guitar from the pawn shop when I was probably 8.
And can't
I
play used... blues if it's never been in a pawn shop.
You still yeah. have it. Yeah. Still have it to this day. It's a horrible, horrible guitar, but yeah. it worked. And, yeah, like, usually I was playing guitar in bands. I can play like a lot of other instruments and stuff. Like I played trumpet on our new EP.
Yeah.
Like,
did you pick that up in school?
Yeah, in middle school I was in band.
Yeah.
I was in band in middle school. It was so sick. I loved band.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm probably about the same story too. Got a guitar from my mom, you know, like one of those little like first guitar kits. You feel me?
Yeah.
And fucking, it was kind of just on go from there. Yeah.
And so, did you guys like obsess over your instruments early on? Was yeah. it like once it, you yeah. got it? Okay, so who are you trying to learn to play first?
I think one of the like as far as like what I was like trying to play, it was like always like power chord shit.
Yeah,
like
of course.
Just like. I was, like, really into, like, 80s punk at the time and stuff, you know, like, or, like, early L.A. shit, like the Screamers and stuff like that,
yeah.
or, like, the Weirdos, like, all the early Danger House bands and stuff like
yeah.
that, and just playing, like, yeah, like, learning how to play power chords and stuff, and then it just took off from there, really.
What about you?
Yeah, it was probably about the same way. I was kind of more into, like, fucking... I don't even know. I was more into, like, classic rock when I was all little, just being
yeah,
a little kid, you
of
know?
Of course.
I really listened to a lot of, like, Van Halen, honestly.
I feel like Ventura is a city where classic rock is
oh,
probably
hell
huge.
Yeah, all
yeah.
day.
Yeah, yeah. 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 Whenever yeah, you get those blue-collar communities, it's like, fucking CCR, man.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Sorry to keep harping on you, harping this on you, Dylan, but, like, the bands that you mentioned, I'm just like, I feel like most... people or kids these days don't find out about those bands until they're much older
because
you have to dig for them. So, like,
yeah.
who was your source beyond just saying older homies that was putting you onto this?
Really, it was older homies.
Yeah.
Like,
who were they? How did you meet them? How, like, why did they take you under your wing? Under their wing, yeah.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, like, being, like just, like, dyeing my hair and shit as a little kid and stuff and, like, walking around and, like, people notice that, you know, like,
yeah.
even older people, and, like, straight up, one of the dudes that, like, put me on all this music, I met him, like, walking around with a friend of mine.
Shout him out, dude. Who is it?
My homie, KK.
Shout out, KK.
Yeah.
Oh,
KK.
Yeah. You guys have siblings?
Yeah, I have a brother.
Older or younger?
Older.
Okay, so that explains it a little bit. What about you?
I got one older sister.
Older sister, yeah. Were they cool kids?
Yeah.
I wasn't into the same things as I was,
really?
Like, at all. Yeah,
yeah,
we're pretty different,
okay.
but he's sick. I fuck with my brother.
He's sick?
Yeah, I love my brother.
That's funny. So, what inspired you to start dyeing your hair at a young age?
Just watching, like, old fucking, I think the first time I wanted to bleach my hair was because, have you ever seen that Depeche Mode, like, they follow them on tour?
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, I had that on VHS because my parents were huge Depeche Mode fans.
Okay,
and
so
like,
your folks were into cool music too then? Relatively.
Like, I'd say, like, I credit them for, like, the 90s shit that
yeah.
I'm into. They were, like, really, like, all into 90s stuff.
Yeah,
like stupid stuff like Bush and, like...
Yo,
but
I was
like,
just talking about Bush the other day. Yo, like, there was a point in my life where I thought Bush was, like, so dope.
Dude,
like,
they're sick.
I don't want to come back down this cloud. And I heard one of their songs on the radio the other day, and I haven't heard it in probably, like, 20 years or something. And I was just like, it's so hard to believe that I was so into this at one point. Because now, looking back, I'm like, it was pretty, like, standard fare.
Yeah.
Like, the 90s...
Face value.
I don't know how well the 90s really aged for a lot of the popular
yeah.
bands. Like, really, they all kind of sound the same. And at this point, you listen to it and you're like, oh, yeah, it's like all Nickelback.
Yeah.
But anyhow, so your parents are into Depeche Mode. And so did that get you on, like, a YouTube K-hole as well?
I mean, I don't... think I was on the internet as much until I met, like, him and stuff, like, getting, like, because I was always exposed music through either, I remember I got a lot of exposure through fucking Tony Hawk, like, playing Tony Hawk games as a kid, like, on PS2,
mm-hmm.
and, like, they'd have, like, you know, like, all kinds of, like,
Circle Jerks.
Yeah, yeah, just the starter Motorhead pack, the starter pack.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, so, I probably credit that and, like, older homies, and then, like, just a little bit from mom, you know. Mom got me into Depeche Mode.
I don't give
her credit for that, 100%.
So what about you?
Yeah, my mom put me onto a lot of the old country shit, actually.
Okay, yeah.
Because she's from Fresno.
Okay.
And her family's from...
Is that, like, cow country?
Yeah. It's fucking Central Valley shit. And then fucking her parents are from, like, Arkansas.
What kind of country? Like... Old country, new country?
Yeah, old country for sure. Because it was what her parents, she's not the biggest country fan, so it was her parents put her on. So it was a lot of like, grew up listening to a lot of like Marty Robbins and Elvis.
Hank Williams.
Yeah, Hank Williams, some of that older senior, Hank Williams shit. Senior for sure.
Yeah, senior.
Fucking, who else? Like, you know, a little like Simon and Garfunkel, like Hall & Oates and shit like that.
I'm
like
sure more, Johnny Cash.
Yeah. Like a lot of like folky stuff, you know?
Yeah, cool. So were you into any country shit before you met him, or is that where the influences start to rub into each other?
No, my first like introduction to music, like the first thing I can remember finding on my own, like loving it, was like Elvis.
Really?
That was probably like my introduction to like country and shit like that.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I was kind of thinking about that the other day too, of like, I wonder what Elvis's legacy, or if it's going to remain as strong as it was like a generation prior, just because I feel like with artists like Elvis and Michael Jackson, mm-hmm. it's like they become so infamous past mm-hmm. their talent, known for like their shenanigans,
right.
that like when most kids your age would be like, oh yeah, Elvis, he was like that fat pill popping wannabe sheriff.
Yeah,
like,
the toilet.
not this like, you know,
dude,
whatever.
Died on the toilet.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Well, and then nowadays people look at Elvis and they're like, oh, that's a fucking colonizing ass, like cultural appropriator, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So it's like the longer a legacy lives, the more flawed it becomes, kind
of. Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's with every artist, though. Yeah. You know, the longer you stretch out the legacy of any person in general, the more flaws you can poke.
Because the
it,
more
you
human
know?
They become.
Exactly.
Really, you know?
Exactly.
Let's talk about, like, early musical accomplishments once you start getting up those guitars and plucking on them. How long was it before you joined a band?
I think my first band, like, actual band with, like, songs.
Because
I've always played music with kids and just, like, jammed and shit like that.
Yeah.
But, like, I think my first band, I was, like, probably, like, 13. It was with two other girls, and it was just, like, I was just singing, and it was guitar and drums. We had one song.
And so the girls played the drums and bass?
Just drums and guitar, no bass.
Oh, okay.
No bass.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a little rough. But
gotta hit those tom drums a lot.
Yeah.
Fill in those sonics. What was your one song about?
It was about... I don't know, just being like an angsty like 13-year-old.
It's like about Pokemon and shit.
No, not like that, you know. But I have no clue. Honestly, I don't remember any of the lyrics.
What about you? Were you in bands at like 13 as well?
Yeah, I was, like I said earlier, in that band in like 4th and 5th grade.
Oh yeah.
And then so I was. What age are you? Like 9, 10?
10, 11. Yeah, 9, 10.
Something like
that. And you're playing guitar?
Yeah, I was playing guitar.
How do you meet other fucking 9-year-olds that are interested in this shit? This just didn't exist where I'm from.
Honestly, I kind of tiptoed around it a little because it was just me playing guitar and my sister who played drums, played drums, and then I just picked like one of my friends to sing the lyrics to song
titles. Right. How much older is your sister than you?
She's 2 years older than me.
Shout out, Sissy.
So she
was like drawn to the drums and you're drawn to guitar? Are your parents like letting you guys pick or putting these instruments on you, or like did it just come?
They were super supportive. Both of my parents are not really, like, not to be mean, but they're not very musical.
They don't
play no instruments, and I like probably couldn't play any instruments, but from a really young age they were super adamant about saying, hey, let's get you guys instruments. Like, let's get you guys playing music.
And so was it like seeing your sister play drums that was like, oh, I want to get an instrument, but I don't want to play the same instrument?
I forgot which one came first, honestly. I think we're both just kind of, we just moved to Ventura and we're trying to like play
find
more
your place.
Instruments.
Yeah.
So I think we kind of just both picked it. Yeah.
And did you guys have similar tastes in what you wanted to play?
Nah, again, it was kind of just like my band and my sister was along to play whatever, you know, because she just wanted to play. And then, you know, the singer was down because they just wanted to sing type shit.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally. And so what were you guys singing and playing? Did you do covers at all?
Yeah. We did covers. We were too little like to write original music. We covered Breaking the Law by Judas Priest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then we covered like a Green Day song or some shit.
Which
like
one?
Probably one of the blown out ass ones. I honestly don't even remember. I think it was like, what's that one joint that goes like, Holiday by Green Day. Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
Green Day is a band that has really transcended some generations because
I love Green Day.
They got big. Their first record that got really big was when I was in eighth grade.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Dookie came out when you're in eighth grade.
Yeah, Dookie came out when I was in eighth grade.
Perfect timing.
My dad gave it to me on a tape. And at that time, sick. I was like, all rap. Like, I don't want to listen to nothing but rap. Yeah. And then he gave me Dookie, and I was like, oh, fucking punk rock is sick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When I Come Around and all that shit. Yeah, that album had gems.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, and then by the time my sophomore year, their second record came out with like that My Eyes Feel Like They're Gonna Bleed.
That song's a jam too. Hell yeah.
Anyway.
Brain Stew.
Yeah, totally. That record's great. Were you playing covers too?
We tried to cover one song, that song by the Descendants called Good Good Things.
Yeah, we tried.
It was bad.
It was bad.
We didn't get through it.
Did you guys make it to the point where you're playing out at all at that age? Like shows and stuff?
Yeah. I don't think I started playing shows till I started playing with like Ryan.
Yeah.
So you guys link up when you're like in junior high.
Just on some homie shit. Probably smoke weed in an alleyway together.
Yeah, playing video games and shit or what? Like, did you guys live close to each other?
We've always all lived in the same area. Yeah. Ventura is so small.
Right, but like skating distance, biking distance,
Yeah.
So it wasn't a problem getting to each other's house. So would you guys like kick it after school, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, on the weekends all day, like just post up.
Especially when we started like actually creating shit. Like,
yeah.
How long did the friendship take to bloom into a musical relationship? Was it like, did you guys already know you were into music?
It was low key right away. Yeah, he put out this song like when we were like all young, and his voice was all like lowered, like
trying to sound like Little Ugly Man,
like some Little Ugly Man shit. Yeah. And like I had never heard.
That's funny, trying to sound like some Little Ugly Man shit. Who was trying to sound like 3-6 Mafia?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah,
like literally,
the influence is very circular, goes all the way back. Go ahead.
Had never heard anyone from Ventura put out something like that.
Yeah.
Like at all, and I was like, okay, like, all right, like, and I hit him up, like, that night, and I was like, yo, I fuck with this, let's make music.
Yeah, and like what we were saying earlier, like, we already knew each other type shit, but I dropped that song, and he hit me up. He was like, damn, I didn't know you were into making music like this, like,
how did you find Mr. Thug Isolation?
Oh, it was just the internet.
Yeah.
I was, like, an internet kid.
So what sites were you on a lot?
I was just on SoundCloud from, like, an early age.
Yeah.
Like, I was, like, 13, I think, on SoundCloud type shit.
Right.
I kind of missed. I was too young to get the whole MySpace, like, LimeWire, like, everything else. I was too young for that. But I got SoundCloud, like, when it was base. I want to say, first kind of starting off, but I don't want to undermine anything.
Yeah, like, who knows, right?
Yeah.
You're learning about the SoundCloud scene, and then are you putting him on?
Putting me on, and then I'm putting him on to, like...
punk shit.
All kinds of experimental music and shit like that. I think, like, a big, like, moment for, like, me and Ryan's, like, not sound development or anything, is, like, him putting me on to that, and then me putting him on to, like, stuff like the Gun Club or, like, Jawbreaker or just,
cramps,
like...
cramps and shit.
Yeah, just more, like, the emotional side of punk, not, like, just... power chord yelling about Reagan or
like,
something.
Oh, here, check out this The Wire. Or check out Wire, Pink Flag. So that was just me trying to name drop a band to sound like I'm involved. So who are the artists on SoundCloud other than Little Ugly Man that were like really speaking to you and then that book?
Bones.
Bones. I was a big Bones fan, honestly, like around the time like fucking what album was that or tape? Like Garbage dropped and shit.
I got into
Bones. I was into like Young Lean and Blade a lot.
Okay.
I'm really still into Blade. I love Blade. But we got also like when we really started making music, I got super into early Thrax House.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
remember Thrax House, which turned GBC? Like, yeah,
yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's funny. For me as an older dude to hear these guys' influences, yeah. I'm like, oh yeah, Sesh Hollow Water Boys, I had them on the show in 2014.
Yeah.
And like, just infamously probably one of the most awkward interviews I've ever done. But it was cool. And then yeah, Thrax House, I mean, like, dude, yeah. I those were like just youngsters.
Yeah, oh, totally.
And yeah, and that's how it came off too.
Yeah. That's what was so cool about Thrax House too. That's what I thought was so cool about it was kind of more, it felt more punk than everybody else. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's raw dope. As hell.
Totally. Like, it's dope for me to see them now being named as an influence, because at the time, I was still, like, making music, and I would see those dudes, like, because Ned has always been the little homie, and I would see them doing their thing, like, oh, that's cool, like, they got their little group together, but at the same time, in my, like, rap mind, I'm like, oh, group projects never work out, this will be short-lived, and of course, like, everything, I don't know, like, maybe, is Thrax House still...
Nah, well, I don't think so.
Like, it's just GBC, like, yeah. So it's like, you know, like, things come and go, and but it's cool that like something that could be short lived can be such a big influence to people. You
and
know
on top of that too, like on top of the whole Thrax House influence, I totally forgot to mention a huge influence of mine when I first started getting into the internet.
Yeah,
it was around like, I was probably like 12, 11, was a Witch House.
Oh, okay,
I was stupid into Witch House when I was younger, and I remember because I was. Like I said, I was too young, and I found it out a year later, and I thought it was the fucking sickest thing ever, dude. Like,
I honestly don't even really know what Witch House was, because, again, you know, as you get older, you see things for passing fads, and so you kind of skim over them sometimes. Right. So explain what Witch House is to me.
Oh, dude, I can't even explain.
Was that like...
It's like heavy, heavy synth. And
was that like Alice Glass and shit like that?
Yeah, kind of.
Like Crystal Castles, like-ish, you know?
Yeah. Like Picture Plane?
Picture Plane.
Yeah. Like White Ring and Crimes and stuff like that. Like, really... Almost like, I swear to God, like almost power pop, but like with trap drums.
Yeah.
With like just stupid 808.
Like really gainy sound.
Yeah, okay. Super gainy. It's like literally, I don't know, bro. It sounds like punk electronic music.
Yeah, right.
Like Crystal Castles, but like the knobs turned up a little more, you feel me?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I love so much about it.
Here's a, I don't even know how to phrase this question because I've never really asked it before, but like, as you were listening to this stuff, what was your listening habits? And I mean that in that when I was in high school, I would listen to shit on like headphones on a fucking mini CD player because that's the technology that we had at the time. Mm-hmm. So I would listen to it while I was either snowboarding or like, you know, whatever, walking around, I would have my little CD, mini CD player, whatever, or... in the car as I'm driving. So like, when you guys are finding this shit, are you just like on laptops at the house? Like, is it a very private experience, or were you listening with groups of people?
Just listen to music all day long, no matter what, you know, no matter if it's in my headphones on my phone or if I'm with friends, I'm in the car, you know, we was always just listening to music no matter what. Like, it could, like, it probably goes from range from both like private to very public with all of our friends just listening together.
And were you guys the type of people that would be like finding out about shit and then trying to put other homies on, or was it just kind of like the two of you?
Yeah, and I think for a while, like, I was just so into music and wanting to play music so bad, and like really wanting to start a band, and like always really trying to push people, like, yo, pick up the bass, like, please play bass for my band.
Yeah,
and I just like got so annoyed with that shit because you're working with other people and stuff, and like, it's. I don't know, making music on your own is like, you have all the direction and stuff. And like, once I like learned that you could just like fucking have a shitty mic, record it, and like put it up on a free website and stuff like that, like learned those ropes, like it's just like on from there.
Right. So by the time you guys started making music together, were you already putting out projects as Gravelust?
Yeah, I think I had like one song out. It's like this really old song I have called Star.
Uh-huh.
It's like an 80s like synth goth song.
Yeah, it's like a straight up like 80s like goth song.
Yeah, because like I told you outside, you could hear the like Depeche Mode influence.
Yeah. Or like just shit like that, like and, like Christian Death and like all those bands. Like I love all those bands.
And so you were already putting out solo music as well at that point?
Yeah. I was already putting out solo music for sure, but it was. Kind of sounded more just like SoundCloud singer stuff.
Yeah, you know? Right.
Because I was kind of, I guess, trying to sort of emulate that a little bit. You know?
So by the time you guys, I'm just going to like put it out like 14-ish, you're already like producing your own kind of like independent
music
on, like, what are you guys using, FL or Ableton?
GarageBand.
Over FL, Ableton.
Yeah, I still use
Pro
GarageBand.
Tools.
Yeah.
Like, everything, just what we get our hands on.
Honestly. Yeah, right. Sample-based, or were you playing, like...
Yeah.
Okay.
It was sample-based.
Yeah, I didn't even know about sampling at the time. I've always made stuff, like... I've done sample stuff now, like, from getting inspiration from him and stuff, and him showing me the ropes of that stuff, but... I was doing it by hand.
You would play into GarageBand and then, like, distort the fuck out
of
it or something?
Yeah, like, yeah. I had, like, a keyboard and just, like, did the drums on it, just, like, like, one by one, like, yeah.
And then would you quantize it, or are you just playing, like, play it in and moving it around the drums until they're on beat?
Yeah, I don't know what quantizing
is. I think it's quantize. Is that the right word? Like, when your drums stick into the right place?
I don't know. I just, like, literally would just do it and, like, record on a headphone mic.
Oh,
I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah, like, hope it was on time.
yeah, it was just, I don't know. It worked, though.
That's so tight. When you guys decide to link up, how does this... like I say, hodgepodge or mishmash or whatever of influences. Like, how do you decide, like, okay, yo, we're going to be, like, country-themed, nouveau fucking...
Well, because we originally had, like, Ryan was doing his more of his singing stuff, and I was like, oh, I want to make, like, 80s, like, goth music. I was, like, so set on it. Like,
we're like, together, but we were kind of just doing our,
like,
own
our
thing
own
separately,
ways.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I was gone for a little bit, and this fool, like, once I got back... You want to tell that story? You want to tell the actual story, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dylan was gone for a little, and then...
What, did you go to jail?
Yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I was trying to make a joke, and then here, lo and behold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I'm scared. It's funny because I was going to be like, how are you 18? You got all these tattoos, and now I know they're prison tats. Tell the story. I'm sorry to interrupt.
So, yeah, Dylan was gone for a little, and then I went out to the desert with a bunch of my friends. Life was just weird at the time, you know, like my best friend was like, you know, gone, and basically. So, yeah, a couple of my homies went out to the desert.
For context, how long ago was this? Like last year?
This was like probably a year and a half to
two years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys are 16. You're fucking little
kids.
Yeah,
we're 16. Okay. And then we just went out to the desert, and I don't know, dude, not even trying to sound corny, but I just, like, swear to God, I was like, this is it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we were listening to hella country music, just drinking beer in the desert. Like, it was trippy. I was just like, this is what I want to do. Like, I love this shit so much. So basically, that's it, yeah.
Well, yeah, once he came back, he, like, proposed the whole idea to me. It wasn't like, oh, we're going to fucking be cowboys. It was like, we're just going to make music.
Yeah.
I don't know. It
was make music like this. Yeah. It's like forming a band, you know?
Yeah.
It was like forming a band, literally, you know?
So how did you tell him that? Did you have to write him a letter?
He was on house arrest. Yeah. And I would go over to his house all the time and bring my music equipment. We just record because he was on house arrest.
You had to have an ankle brace on and shit?
Yeah.
No way.
It was all bad.
Can we talk about that or what?
Talk
about it, bro. You're not going to give a fucking 2 years.
Nah, I'm not going to try to talk about it 2 years. No offense, but I just fucking got busted.
Yeah.
Was locked up for a little bit, got out. And like,
and then you're on house arrest.
Yeah, and then I was on house
arrest. It was a mile.
And how long is it until you're fully cleared of everything?
Oh, I'm cleared now.
Oh, you're good now.
I'm good.
And is it on your permanent record, or did you get it expunged?
I haven't gotten expunged. I got to go to court and shit for that.
Word, man. Well, fuck, I'm glad you're getting your stuff together at
least.
Yeah. So is that when you started getting tattooed?
Like when I got out and stuff, or like when I was
While you were in?
No, I didn't get any tattoos.
Oh, okay. I was that one on your forearm, I was like thinking maybe that was homemade.
Oh no, I just got this one.
Oh really?
Yeah, I just got it a couple weeks ago.
No shit. Man, you guys are getting to it. At 18, you're already like, you got a few going already.
It took me
a long time. I've gathered a collection of, you know, middling tattoos over the years. I'm gonna get my hand tattooed on Sunday.
Yeah. That's a step.
That's a cool one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of, you
breaking
know.
Breaking the barrier.
I took my time. You know, I figure I have enough. I might as well.
Yeah.
And I already have finger tattoos and shit, so I'm not that worried about
it.
Eventually, I want to get my neck done. Like, my girl really wants me to get my neck done, but my mom's like, will cry a lot if I get my
neck
done.
Yeah, yeah,
same. So it's one of those things. But, you know, I'm a lifer. Yeah. I'm not going to ever get a desk job again. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
All right, so you guys started making music as Out West.
Right.
And Now, you guys both got cowboy boots on. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the stees. Because you guys got on fucking cowboy boots, and you both got on ornate belts. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And the tucked-in shirts. But, like, you guys don't look like... Like, I wouldn't see you from a distance and be like, oh, there's a couple of fucking country singers, or there's a couple of, like, country fans. Yeah. Yeah. Not till you get close that you kind of see the details incorporated with, like, what I would call a pretty generalized punk aesthetic. You feel me? Did you guys have to go out and buy cowboy boots, or did you already have cowboy boots laying around?
Bought that shit.
Yeah, bought that shit.
Bought that.
How are they on the feet?
They're bomb.
Yeah, they're bomb. Walking around the city sucks for a long time. Yeah. Like, walking around L.A. and shit.
Sucks going to, like, shows and shit in cowboy boots, to be honest, because it's just, like, you're clomping around everywhere. Yeah. Trying not to step on
so
feet.
So not, you know? Like, you're stick out like a sore thumb, sometimes.
It's because actually I'm surprised that it doesn't stick out as much. It doesn't stick out as much as I thought it would.
Yeah. I mean, well, because it's not forced. We're not forcing this shit. Exactly. This is how we dress.
And at this point, I think we're doing it, like, to the point that, like, somewhat well, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I think we kind of got it down a little bit.
And on the album, Art, you got on, like, the full 10-gallon hat and everything. Like, how? Don't you? I've seen pictures of you wearing the cowboy hat. Yeah. How often do you bust out the cowboy hat?
When it's hot.
I used to wear it a lot. Yeah, when it's hot out, you know, I'll bust it out.
Are they good functional hats?
Yeah, they're great. They're great. Just like, if you're in a crowded area, though, that shit's getting knocked around.
Like I say, I'm not finna go to, like, a ham party with a cowboy hat on anymore.
Sticking to trucker hats lately.
Yeah, right. Because I have, you know that brand Filson? It's like some high-end country shit.
No, I don't.
I've never heard of it.
You guys should peep it out. It's pretty dope. It's like an Americana brand. It's kind of like Carhartt for rich people.
Okay.
And so, but I have a couple of, like, tin hats of theirs. And I would think that, like, they would be good for a summer day, but Jesus Christ, they make my head sweat so fucking much. So that's why I'm wondering about
cowboy hats. There's winter ones, too. There's winter ones that have, like, lining and shit.
Oh, yeah. So that's the thing is those hats I'm talking about, I have a wool one that's for winter.
Then
I bought one that's, like, just tin canvas, and I thought it would be good for the summer. Oh, my God. It makes me sweat, like, crazy. So cowboy hats, no? They don't make you sweat?
Not really.
Nah.
That's good. Really. You get the little, like, little line, but, I mean, that's every hat in the summer, right. You know?
What are cowboy boots functional for? Just riding horses? That's it?
Yeah, kicking shit.
Not getting bit by snakes.
Yeah, hell yeah.
You know, the funny thing is my first favorite pair of shoes was cowboy boots because I was born in San Antonio.
Oh, fuck.
Believe it or not.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, my dad was in the Air Force. That's how I ended up living in Alaska my whole life.
Word.
But before I was in Alaska, when I was like 4 years old, I had some cowboy boots and I would wear the belt and tuck my shirt in, looking like little mini versions of you guys, basically, but back in the 80s. Yeah, fire. Okay, so. Oh, you guys just put out the EP.
Yeah. Through Highways.
Okay. And how, I mean, I don't know, what's the response been like? I mean, I found out about you guys because of a Fader feature. So, people must be, like, taking to it.
Yeah, I think the feedback has been, like, good. I think we kind of put it out there just, not on a limb or anything, but more as, like, a more polished sound that's like, oh, this is what we're doing. This is, like, just the beginning of it, really, too.
You guys been dropping Out West singles, like, on SoundCloud prior to that?
Not really. That's
I was going to say, there's not a lot to find under Out West.
We were dropped because we had that first EP, which is, like, very face value, you know? Yeah. Like, it is what it is when you listen to it, kind of. But we were dropping singles, like, just by ourselves, like, a couple here and there, but we kind of saved a lot of shit, the ideas and stuff for the project.
So you guys have nice. And so are you guys continuing to work on stuff right now? Like, the release was just like the release.
Yeah.
You guys have more in the works.
It's building off of that.
And so what are the plans?
We really want to, like, we're trying to set up like a little mini California tour. We really want to put out a zine. Like, we want to put out a zine because I think bands and stuff, not bands, I see bands do it, but, like, at least the some of the scenes that we fall into and shit, I've seen Misery Club put out zines and shit. That shit was sick.
Yeah, Misery Club's sick.
But other than that, I don't see a lot of people putting out, like, physical content. And I think, like it's so nice to, like, bring something back, like, in your hands rather than just digital shit, you know.
That's so interesting how that's starting to come full circle, because yeah, it is fully a digital world now.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's funny, like as an older artist, I look at it like, oh, if I ever put out another record, I'm like not gonna do any physical copies, because
right.
I spent my whole life having to like tote around boxes of CDs right. and try and sell to people at shows, and only to like find out later that like streaming will make you more money than physical copies ever would have.
Right.
And now you guys who grew up on streaming shit is like, oh, give me something I can, give me something textile.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you get over it, dude. Yeah. Like, it gets boring, and you kind of, like, I don't know, it's kind of a nod back to, like, our influences as well.
Absolutely.
You know, in a way that that's how they did it, and it was really cool.
Yeah.
Kind of cooler than things are right now. You know?
Are you guys, if you do a zine, will you incorporate other forms of your own creativity in there? Like, are you guys shooting photos?
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
like,
art,
like, what do you guys do?
We're both, like, really into like art and shit. Like that's such a broad fucking statement.
Yeah,
and I know.
I'm like, oh damn, dude, that's deep.
But you know, just like creating stuff. Like I've made zines before, and like Ryan's helped me out with them. Like we, like when we were younger, always make buttons or like t-shirts, just spray painting like t-shirts and shit like that. You know, like,
that's cool, man.
Stuff like that.
Hell yeah. Well, shit, boys. I think we did what we came to do.
Cool.
For sure.
Tell the people where they can find the project.
It's on SoundCloud at the Out West SoundCloud, and it's on all other platforms.
Yeah, it's on Spotify, Bandcamp, Apple Music.
Through Highways.
The EP's called Through Highways by Lil Race, Carr, and Graveless.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, boom. Oh, so I was looking for it on Spotify, and I couldn't find it, but it's because you have to look up you guys' individual names and not Out West?
Yeah, it's weird on Spotify.
We don't have an Out West account on...
You guys should do that as soon as you get home. Yeah, because it'll be a lot easier to find that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, because I was listening to it continually on SoundCloud.
Yeah. If you look up Through Highways, though, it should come up, or one of our names.
Yeah, there
will
you go.
Come
Through
up.
Highways.
Yeah.
All right, cool. And so tell the people where they can find each of you online, and then like individually and as a group.
On like Twitter,
all that
Instagram
stuff.
Is just like at Graveless. Like you can find it. And
my Instagram's racecar.ow, and then my Twitter's Lil Race Car, and the Out West Instagram is Out West Worldwide.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. You guys got shows coming up?
I don't think so.
No, we just played one the other night.
How was it?
It was super sick. It was at this really cool spot.
What spot?
It's called Rare House.
Yeah.
It's an older spot, but it's under new management now, and they just reopened it. And it's
Rare House sounds mad familiar.
Yeah.
Adam used to throw shows there back in the day.
At the old one, I'm pretty sure. At the old one.
That's funny because I think that I've played a show at the old Rare
House. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. That's really funny. I got a question. How did you guys meet your management?
Oh,
We met Sam through
a mutual friend.
Our good friend Riley.
Yeah.
He had us over, and I think at the time he was doing an apprenticeship for someone else, and he was like, oh, yo, like, just because he's more involved in, like, the stuff that we're not involved with, like, we just make music, you know?
Yeah.
We just make music and worry about that.
Yeah,
and
we're not very good at, like
the
internet stuff, to be honest.
Yeah, like, contacting and all that stuff. And, like, since then, because we met on some homie shit, you know? Like, we met on some, like, straight-up, like, homie shit, and we just kept seeing him around, like, kept hanging out, and then
it was kind of just like, yeah, you want to manage us?
Yeah,
he was
right.
Let's do it. So
nice. It's
been
working
out
good.
Great.
Yeah, he's super sick. Shout out to
Sam.
Yeah, he's doing good by you guys, I think.
Yeah, super good guy.
Fantastic. All right, well, I look forward to more music from you guys. I think we're relatively early, if you guys are listening at home, you're really up on some new shit that's going to be evolving and developing at a quick pace, I'm sure, because you two seem like a couple of driven gentlemen. So I appreciate your time, and I look forward to
seeing you. Thank you for having
us. Yeah, thanks for having us on the show.
I look forward to seeing you guys perform tonight. What are you guys going to perform?
The title track of the EP,
Through Highways. And so, if you guys are looking for that, you can go to youtube.com/kindaneat to see Out West performing Through Highways. My name is Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition. You can follow me on Twitter at It's Intuition. You can follow my man, Ben Shin, behind the boards, making the shit sound buttery, at I Am Database, based with two S's. Follow us as a unit at Kinda Neat. I have a new social media thing to throw in here. I have a photo account for my Instagram now called Lee Shaner, just at Lee Shaner, where I'm going to be posting photographs of all the musicians that I've photographed. What else? Yeah, youtube.com/kindaneat. See Out West perform. That's it. My name is Lee. That's the Little Race Car, that's Gravelust, and this was Kinda Neat. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.